Yeah.
Did you shave your head?
Yeah, I was going to do it at like 1 in the morning, and then I slept on it and decided to do it. So I just before we got on here, I...
Oh, man. Nice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that old man and that nice don't go well together.
Mixed signals here. We're getting mixed signals.
Mixed signals. Back so I can put it back on.
Okay.
No.
Give him a moment to glue it back.
Yeah. No, I'm going to see if I can donate it. I don't know if it was long enough, but I know they have length restrictions. But I'm going to see if I can donate the hair.
Oh, yeah. That'd be dope. Yeah.
Yeah.
Might as well. You got
it. Make some good of it. What's that?
Might as well. You have it.
Right? Right. If they take it, I'll give it. I didn't throw any away. With it. Except maybe that's in the shop for you guys and glue it back on.
No, it's not. It's really, I'm just joking. It's not. It's just, you're a handsome fellow.
Nah, you look great, bro.
Thank you.
All right, let's do the damn thing.
I was feeling a little insecure this morning, so.
Oh, no.
No, I'm kidding.
You have a good face. It had compliments, your face shape.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Awkward silence.
All right. This is the Durag
discussion. Damn, Logan, you spazzed out right now. What the fuck going on?
Everybody, this is Durag Discussions. Back, sort of, with Elephant Bird. This week, if you guys didn't hear the story, it was lost. The recording was lost, or never grabbed or never created, but either way, we're here with Elephant Bird, with a new project out.
Oh, I'm Ziad Fattah. My primary passion is music and coffee, and, surfing.
Yes.
I play,
catching mugs are in full effect.
I play multiple instruments, bass is my primary instrument, and acoustic guitar, finger picking. I play a little piano and a little bit of drums. Do you want me to delve deep into my,
do your thing. Let them know.
Okay. All right. I'm not primarily, I started playing funk, bass funk, slapping the bass.
Title of the episode. Can't forget.
Yeah. And then, progress through that into all the crazy bass players, like Mingus and Les Claypool and Jaco Pastore and the guys who does do like crazy stuff, Charlie Hunter. Then I started playing, I played in a few bands, like fronting some bands, playing bass and singing, evolved into more acoustic, folky stuff. And, I have so many different influences from, like, Jeff Buckley to, jazz and some hip-hop. Yeah, I won't go through all of them, but I love music. And it's my breath and my passion. I can't live without it. It's where I connect easiest and more, quickest to the source.
Right.
It's through music. And then, the project that we're doing together, Kevin and I, we're fusing all our different influences and styles together.
Hell yeah. And yeah, you can see that, everybody, just real quick, go ahead and check out Elephant Bird. It's on all platforms, right? All platforms.
Elephant Bird, one word.
Elephant Bird, one word.
One word.
Elephant Bird.
Elephant Bird. I'm Kevin Andre DiToledo, aka KDQ Produced It. You know, a little bit about me, you know, like Zia said, you know, without music, I don't think I'd have any sort of peace of mind, because I find it, you know, when I get locked in the zone, it's very meditative. You know, I don't think about going to have a cigarette. I don't think about what's going on. You know, and my head shuts off, and I'm able to focus on what I'm working on. And I think that's, you know, a testament to the, you know, power of music. You know, because my head can go, you know, and you know, I can worry about a million things that don't even matter, but when I'm locked into music, it all shuts off. So I find it very meditative and peaceful for me. You know, and then it's a way to connect. Like Zia said, it's, you know, if one person likes what I've done, that's like, that makes me feel like warm inside, you know, as cheesy as that may sound. But, you know, some of my background, you know, I started making beats in 97, I think it was 97. I started out playing trumpet, and then had some things happen where I couldn't play anymore. And I'd always wanted to get, I mean, hip hop was, you know, what made me fall in love with music in the first place. When I was in elementary school, some kid came in with a little boombox and threw on a UTFO tape, and then Roxanne came on, and I was like, whoa, what is this? It's like nothing I had ever heard before. And, you know, from then, you know, my journey through hip-hop kind of got derailed, and then it came back, but I always was searching for stuff, for new music, new styles of hip-hop, you know, from West Coast underground legends like Freestyle Fellowship to, you know, East Coast like Nas and Pete Rock and CL Smooth and DITC and you know, De La Soul, Tribe Called Quest, Jungle Brothers, you know, all that stuff, you know, influenced me. And then I wanted to know how they were getting their sound. So when I got a little older, I started researching, you know, where their samples came from. Because when I first learned about hip-hop, I didn't know they were sampling. When I learned about it, I started researching where they were getting their samples from, and then that's how I started getting into things like jazz, soul, funk, and all of those things that sort of influenced me throughout my music career. And even outside of it, it's like, I mean, it's almost like one defining factor in my life is, you know, my musical influences. You know, producers that have influenced me are people like Prince Paul, Pete Rock, Q-Tip, Diamond D, Lord Finesse, the whole Dana and Crates crew, you know, so many, Madlib, J Dilla, there's too many to mention. But they've all influenced me in some, you know, form or fashion. And, you know, like Ziad said, this is like a fusion of all our influences over the years. And, you know, Ziad's experiences with other forms of music and my experience and my influences with hip-hop. And, you know, so it all meshed into this, what I think is a beautiful sounding project.
Absolutely.
So I'm really stoked, you know, to have this all manifested and the end result.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Real quick, just give us, both of you, we can go back to Ziad. Where are you guys from? What area really influenced you the most? If not where you're from, then the place you spent the most time, or because I know musicians, you guys travel a lot.
Yeah.
Musicians, artists, collaborators, creators.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good question, you know.
Yeah.
I'm from Northern California. So, you know, I think, you know, a lot of my influence musically comes from, you know, the nature in Northern California. There are a lot of trees, yeah, a lot of rivers. It's different. And you know, in Sacramento, you know, it's very different topography than Los Angeles. The nature gives it the energy. You know, where it was more like, you know, what's the word? Organic? Yeah, organic music. But then I came to L.A., and that influenced me as well. You know, with just the vibe of, you know, the people. You know, there's definitely more of a creative energy in Los Angeles. Especially, I live in North Hollywood, like by the Art District. And
definitely.
Yeah, a lot of musicians, a lot of artists, you know, we're creating and collaborating, and there's all kinds of stuff going on. And I can feel that energy, and it definitely influences me. And then the beach, you know, then the coast, you know, I feel like I need to be close to the coast, and that is a huge influence of, you know, just taking the energy of the ocean, and kind of taking it all in and directing it into you know, my perspective and my music. Yeah,
definitely.
Kind of. For sure. I'm
trying to think of the word, but kind of like really just, I mean, water. In a lot of ways, I feel like connects with people. We're 70% water ourselves, right? Or something.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. Very high.
Yeah.
But
yeah, 70%.
I mean,
we have a lot of water.
Yeah, and I think we really are very correlated with, you know, water, and we connect with water for sure. That's something I've come to learn in like the past year. It just clears our minds, and it gives us that. It's the only thing really in our lives that just flows and has no restriction, and we see it every day, and it just does what it does.
Yeah, it does what it does. And then like the waves, you know, the waves can be like representative of like a melody or a beat or whatever. And like, you know, the waves come and go,
mm-hmm,
and we all can all interpret them in different ways. And it doesn't. Really, we don't have to attach ourselves to any particular wave,
right?
And then eventually, it all goes back to the water, to the same source.
Exactly. All right, Kev, your turn, sir.
I grew up in Culver City, for the most part, you know, at a younger age, I grew up around, until I was about 8, I grew up around Pico and Shenandoah, in West LA,
mm-hmm,
before it kind of got gentrified a little bit. And then I moved in with my grandparents in Culver City for a while, and I grew up over there. And Culver City was such like a melting pot of different cultures and people of different ethnicities. And so there's a lot of influence, just from the various people that I came in contact with. You know, I'd say people is a big influence, people that come and go in and out of your lives. And, you know, And then just growing up in the city with the noise, the cars, the sirens, the helicopters, the planes going over, the, you know, all the different, you know, audio senses that are going on. You know, that played an influence in a roundabout sort of way because, you know, there's the hustle and bustle of, like, what's going on in the city, and it creates sound, and those sounds influenced me, and, you know, I like, you know, even, you know, I go out on my balcony over here, and I can hear sirens going up Van Nuys Boulevard. I live in Sherman Oaks now, and there's always a lot of sirens going up and down Van Nuys Boulevard, either it's the cops or there's ambulances pulling to the hospital that's across the street from us. And then we have, like, a neighbor across the way who's got, like, almost like a jungle on their porch or their little patio area. And they have bird feeders and you know, the hummingbirds come and the birds come and feed and squirrels come and eat the birds' food. And so there's, like, the hustle and bustle of the nature right there in front of me. For one of our songs, I recorded the birds in the backyard where I used to live, and we incorporated that into one of the songs. So, like, just nature sounds, city sounds, all kinds of sounds. You know, I think the influence of sound is why the cars and accidents and just car accidents and just the chaos of what's going on Interstate 555, I sampled, you know, someone getting in their car and the car crashing and someone screaming. It doesn't sound as bad as I'm making it sound now, but,
I know, I'm like, I don't remember that part.
But, you know, it led into the beat very nicely, and I don't think I would have sampled that if that, you know, the sounds of the city, you know, hadn't influenced me in any sort of way. So it affects the way I sample things and the sounds I look for. And you know, if like there's a musical sample that has like some soundscapes in the back of like city life or nature, you know, I'm more likely to gravitate towards those samples than maybe something that doesn't. Sorry, that was a really long way of going around to get to that, but,
however you got to spit it out, you're good.
But yeah, and nature, the beach, I love going to the beach. I love going in the ocean and just letting the waves, you know, come over you, and it's there's so much influence in this city. I mean, you know, living in LA, you know, we've got, you know, the desert, the mountains, we've got the ocean, and it's all within, you know, everything's within an hour. So growing up here, it's like I've been influenced by all of it, the beach, the mountains, you know, the desert. So it's kind of a mosh of influences but growing up in Culver City was definitely a starting point for me.
Definitely. You're real close to the center of LA, but still kind of get that outside of, you know, suburban feel, but not all the way because it's still LA and it's still Culver City. Inglewood's right there. Like
Central's right there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, oh man. Neighborhoods changed so quickly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Especially but Culver City,
like LA, or a name like Sacramento, name like Oakland, name like San Fran, that just brings people just by purely the aura that it brings, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, Culver City is actually its own small city with LA surrounding it.
Right.
They've got their own school districts, they've got their own police department, they've got their own, but it's definitely like a part of LA, but technically it's its own city within LA.
Exactly. Exactly. Not without a doubt. Shit, let's talk about Elephant Bird. Let's talk about the project. Let's get into that. Each of you, I know you guys kind of struggled with this question last time, but what is your favorite song on the project? We get a second go around at this.
Oh, second go around. Shit. my favorite song. My favorite song. Yeah, it was between Transplant and Alchemic, which is like the first main song and then the last main song. I love Transplant because it was done with, you know, I had a phrase on my loop machine. Let me show, I have it right here.
Right, enjoy.
This thing is, I recorded everything on. I didn't have software, you know, at the time. So I recorded everything as small phrases, and I had that phrase, the guitar phrase, on the loop machine, and I sent it to Kevin, and like, oh, and I did some oohs and ahs. Kevin did some stuff with it, and then I drove up to Sacramento. I had my brother play a drum loop through the looper, so my brother's playing drums on it. There's some drum samples from Kevin. And then, you know, when we thought we were done with it, then Anachron, you know, sent it to this woman who lives in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
You know, part of the Peanut Gallery Network. And then she put some vocals on it. And, you know, it's kind of amazing how it all came about.
Well, it's like, parts, for sure.
Yeah, there's someone in Amsterdam on it. I'm on it. Kevin's on it. My brother, who's in Northern California, is on it. You know, so it's crazy how we can all be in different cities and countries and make this song that actually, I think, flows really well.
Yeah, that's a combination of just like pure the work and then the result, and both were absolutely, you know, fulfilling.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and what I love most about it is that Sassy Ann, the woman who laid down the vocals, I've never spoken to her, I've never met her, but she took the message of the song and wrote her own lyrics, and it completely aligned with the message of the song, which I was like, oh, I've never even met her. And they're like, you know, they get the message. They get it.
And Kev, I know you were getting all the different parts and just like, oh, shit, dope. More shit to add. More shit to add. Oh, fuck, where am I going to fit this in now? Like,
just speaking of Transplant, I think one of my favorites is, I keep going back and forth between Alchemic and Sweeter right now. Even Spaces, too. Like, I've flip-flop between the three of them, but piggybacking on what Zia was saying about Transplant, you know, that song was originally supposed to be an intro to the album, and when we submitted it to Anachron, we thought we were done with it, and then he was like Zia said, he brought Sassy in, and she really gave, like, the song a whole new life, and, like, completely, like, changed the whole vibe of the song, and you know, it's just incredible what can happen when people collaborate, even when you've never met. And Zia was saying, you know, she got the message of the song without having to talk to us or anything. It's just, it's the power of music, and it's beautiful.
Thousands of miles away at that.
Yeah, exactly. And but I think I'm gonna go to Alchemic right now. Just, I think, because the way that one came together was, you know, I had a beat that I had made, and I sent it to Zia to see if he wanted to play with it. And it's the only song that we did like this where, you know, I had a pre-made beat that I had done, and we converted it into the song that we have now.
Right.
And it was really a challenge in doing that one because we didn't want it to sound like we were combining samples with live instruments. Because, you know, sometimes it doesn't translate very well. So the challenge in that was to make it sound cohesive, like it was one piece of music where we weren't like, let's throw a live guitar here, let's throw a live bass line over this, and that was a challenge, and I think it sounds very fluid, which you don't get a lot of times when people combine live with samples. So I think that right now is why it's one of my favorites, is just because I remember the challenge in putting that one together and making it sound like it was all one cohesive piece, as opposed to separate pieces that we threw together.
Just meshing it all and just making it flow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
Flow like the water.
You know, flow like the water. Or like the coffee. Out the clear mug.
Coffee water.
So let's speak a little bit about, you know, what the creation process was. It was a crazy year. I think you guys said it took a year to finish this project, correct?
A little over, yeah.
So, I mean, going through quarantine, going through this whole pandemic, what was, you know, challenge or even a blessing in disguise for your creation process? Or what was different?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said earlier, I was taking these. Yeah, I'm a you know, single father, full time. I have my son full time. I teach kids with autism, special ed teacher full time.
Yeah.
So I definitely needed this creative process, especially through the pandemic. It was necessary. But I couldn't do it. You know, I could do it like in little chunks of time, and I take, you know, recording these little loops and emailing them, you know, directly from the loop station, which is meant for live performance. It's not meant for recording. But I just took, you know, you could hook up a USB straight to the computer and you just email the wave files, and I was emailing each wave file separately, a single loop. You know, and like, you know, every, like, just a few, every few days I email a few and be like, and I'd label it like verse one guitar, you know, or verse two bass, and then Kevin would just put it all together and then send me mixes and go back and forth. Kevin.
That was a challenge.
Kev's stressed out. He's thinking about the email thread of Zia, 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 Zia.
No, it wasn't that bad. The challenge for me was taking these small phrases that he was sending and turning them into longer phrases and making it sound fluid. But it was fun in the respect that, you know, my hip-hop background and making beats, I mean, that's what I do with samples.
Yeah.
Is you chop them up and you rearrange them and you put them where you want them. So that helped in this process. But sometimes the challenge was, you know, understanding what Ziad's interpretation, or not interpretation, but Ziad's intention for something was, Because I may hear it differently and place it, you know, where he doesn't have it intended. And so we would communicate, and, you know, I would send him, like, I would lay things out the way I thought they would sound good. And then he would, you know, counter back, say, why don't we try this here and try that there? And it was a complete back and forth of, like, open communication. And you know, if we didn't have that ability to communicate honestly without, like, worrying about hurting each other's feelings or like, you know, whatever, then this never would have happened. Because, you know, there was a lot of movement going on and a lot of patience because, you know, like Z had said, he's a full-time teacher, he's a full-time dad. And, you know, when I'm in a zone and I send him something, I'm like, all right, I want to get some feedback. You know, I hope to get feedback in an hour. And then he'd be like, well, I can't listen to it until later tonight, like after 10 o'clock. So there was also the question of, like, you know, learning patience. Because, you know, you got to realize that we both have our own lives and things can't happen on each other's time. So, you know, he may have sent me something at 10 o'clock on a Thursday night, but I couldn't get to it till Friday morning or later Friday night. But mostly it was me sending him mixes, wanting a response right away. And I'm saying, I can't get to it until tomorrow or later tonight. And so me having to step back and saying, like, okay, you know, it is okay because, you know, we have to respect, you know, other people's lives and we can't force ourselves upon other people. So while I was hoping to get a response, you know, that patience and that open line of communication was, like, seriously key in, like, the making of this album.
Right. I feel like that's big in really any, like, collaboration where, you know, anyone works together is trying to get some work done as a group. I think a lot of times, shit, like, the classic example is, like, in school doing a group project. Like, no one likes a fucking group project. Like, no one.
No, because you always got that one kid, which was me, who wouldn't participate.
Right. Or it's just like, then the one day, like, usually you're that kid, but then the one day you get to the group that it's like, oh, okay, now I have to be the one to step up. Then you're the one doing everything. So it's just like...
You're really screwed when no one wants to show up.
Exactly.
When you're in the group of all three kids in the class who don't participate.
Right. All the kids that would have been in different groups taking from, but they're like, oh shit, we got stuck together. How the fuck did this happen?
Yeah, oh boy. Yeah.
But
that free grade is like slipping away.
Right. You're like, oh shit, I actually gotta do this. I wasn't even here all semester.
Right.
But so, I mean, we spoke a little bit on this face-to-face communication. How much, you know, with things coming back in the swing, are there any things that, you know, in this past year of working virtually are there any aspects of the way you worked this past year that you'll implement into, you know, your regular working process or your creation process? Are you going to go back to normal?
I don't think I'm going to record every single phrase on the loop station. That was, like, at the time we started this, I didn't have a studio, like, set up at home. I do now.
Right.
But I think that's the beauty of the project and how it sounds is, like, we've done a couple of songs since where I did it on Logic and just sent him the Logic file. And those definitely have a different feel.
Right.
Yeah. So it's nice to have our like first album all have one like cohesive feel, you know, where, you know, I don't think we could have gotten it if I sent him larger phrases or like my intention, like in Logic, I can make my intention more clear because I can line things up exactly as I want them. But I think the beauty of this is like, I was forced to be like, you know, see what Kevin's interpretation was. And sometimes it didn't align with mine. But it worked. Yeah, it worked really well. And that's cool. And sometimes it didn't work really well.
Yeah.
And I wasn't afraid of like, hurting his feelings because we're just communicating, you know?
Right. And it's not that like, you don't care that you hurt each other's feelings. It's not that. It's, you know, just trying to, we're both creative beings. We both are artists. This is what I had in mind. What it is now probably isn't that. Let's do this.
Yeah.
And then here
it was about not taking things personally. Like, it's not an indictment on, you know, me. It's just at times we had different interpretations of how things should go. As far as like placement of where these little phrases went. But you know, if you take these things personally, you're just gonna be, you know, you're gonna go through life like really sore at people and, you know, always with hurt feelings, and you know, 99% of the time things aren't personal.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't take them personal. And you know, it was about the music, and it was about creating a better sounding project. You know, sometimes my ideas worked well, and sometimes his worked better. So we made it work, and it was about, for each song, it was about the song. It was about making the song as good as we can possibly get it. And that's where, like, the personal feelings had to be, you know, you have to separate those. Because you're doing it for the good of the song, not for my ego.
Setting the pride.
Yeah. I do want to say that the one song on the album, Interstate 555, mm-hmm. was the one song we did in person. We didn't do that one remotely. I had shoulder surgery, and Zia came to hang out with me for a little bit because my wife couldn't be home. Mm-hmm. And so we sat down in the studio and, you know, we had the drums that I had laid out for him, and he just worked his magic on that one. And that song is beautiful in and of itself. It just a beautiful flow to it. And then he sent me some files afterwards of like, bottle sounds and I added some water sounds and, back to the water again. It's always back to the water.
Yeah, my brother did a little, like, he was just tapping on a glass, you know, a glass cup. Mm-hmm. And then I put some delay on that through the loop station has effects. So we just did a delayed cup tapping here on the song. And he did, like, some bongo drums. With his like finger bongo drums, which you can hear really fast with a filter on it.
That's crazy as shit. That's dope.
Yeah.
All right, now getting into you guys a little bit now. So each of you are going to give an interesting fact or hobby that you're into other than music. Okay. This could be anything. So dig deep into the vault of your brain, your mind. And Kev, you can go first this time.
Yeah, you go first. You're not giving me time to make something up.
Yeah. Switch that shit up on you.
Yep. I don't know. I mean, literally, my life revolves around music, my family, and, you know, we, you know, we like to go out to dinner sometimes, now that we can, but honestly, you know, this question is making me realize that I gotta expand myself a little bit, because, like, I do focus, like, if I'm not spending time with my wife, or out with a friend, or we're having dinner together, or a meal together, like, I'd say 85% of the time I'm in the studio, like, doing something. Trying to learn something, trying to get something. So,
what about tattoos? Tattoos are like a hobby for you.
There you go.
But I don't do them.
He just sits
there.
I just get them.
I just get them.
I'm just there.
I think of a hobby is like something that you do to take a break from what you do normally. And at some point, music was a hobby. But I mean, it's always been a passion, but it was something I did to escape my job or my this or my that. And now this is like what I focus on primarily. You know, for a while my hobby was surfing, like Zia. But like I mentioned earlier, you know, I had shoulder surgery and I'm waiting for another one. So I haven't been able to do that as much. But if I had another hobby, it would be going to the beach, going surfing, doing something of that nature. I just haven't been able to do it lately. But that's fine. As soon as things get back to normal, when my shoulder gets back to normal, I'll be able to do that again.
By summer, it'll be full swing again.
Yeah.
Z, your turn, sir. What's the hobby?
Yeah, I mean, that leads into mine. I mean, mine is, these days, it's been surfing for sure. You know, it's kind of a beautiful thing to learn something as an adult. You know, I'm 41. I started surfing maybe 5 years ago. Yeah. And, you know, that shit is hard. It's not an easy sport, especially like with the, you know, if you've ever been out there, the force of a wave is very strong sometimes. It's powerful. Yeah, and then you can get messed up for sure. I've gotten scrapes and bruises and bleeding. With the fin hitting me, you know, in my head or in my, you know, in my foot. I always get cut right on my ankles from the fin. You know, and there's sharks and they're attracted to blood. So all that stuff. And then, you know, actually developing the motor movements for the sport. And going consistently, consistently at least twice a week from North Hollywood to learn and just teach myself, just go out there and teach myself. And I would watch like YouTube videos. Now I'm, you know, consistently standing up and, you know, catching good waves. And, you know, it's cool to see that progress in something as an adult and not like something I learned younger and I'm just like getting better at, but, you know, something I actually just recently learned how to do and can see the progress.
Yeah, that's dope. Yeah,
that's
dope.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I was, when you first started talking about surfing, I was really down to try it. And then you start talking about bleeding and sharks.
Sharks.
and how rough the waves could be. And I was quickly out. I was quickly out.
You're a football coach, right?
it's like when I'm out there, I'm not thinking about that stuff. When you're out there, you're not.
I feel like it's something you should be thinking about. I feel like it's something you should be thinking about.
and like with all the people out there, like in LA, that you feel safer. You feel safe when
That's true.
More people out there.
You're not just out like by yourself and no one else is around.
That's a little scary because, the sharks will target you for sure more.
Yeah, there's a movie. I know it's not real. It could be based on a real story, but who knows? There's a movie. I don't know if you've seen it. It's called The Shallows.
No, I've heard of it though.
Go watch it. It's actually pretty good. I love sharks. I have a shark tatted on my forearm right here. It's like some girl goes out and she's like in Mexico. Her friend ditches her. She just goes surfing out like wherever the fuck by herself in the wilderness, like right out off the forest. And she like gets stuck out there and there's a shark out there just picking people off. Like anybody that comes out, they just pick them off and then like they're gone. And he just like is chilling and she like gets stuck like out on a whale, like on a dead whale out in the ocean, then ends up getting to a rock at one point. Then she's stuck there for like days, but it's pretty wild. It's pretty wild.
It's
neither here nor there.
that might actually propel my fear-based thoughts. After I watched like the shark attack YouTube, video, I'm like, and then I go surfing, I'm like looking around.
Yeah, no shark week for Zaya. No shark week. That's coming up soon too, right? It's usually in May.
I don't remember.
It's usually soon, I think.
June or July, I thought maybe.
Oh, maybe. Full swing. All right, now, next thing we have. What are three things that are essential to your life? Ziad, it's your turn first.
Okay. Three things central to my life. Music for sure. Music. I need some sort of like spiritual routine. If it's like, I've been doing breath work and like meditation or some sort of spiritual practice that I do every day. Kind of take a step back from the the day-to-day actions and gain some more perspective and I would like to say loved ones, but my inclination is to go with surfing and then put my loved ones forth.
Put them on the board with you.
Yeah, they'll come. As long as I've learned that if I take care of myself, I definitely have more appreciation and gratitude for the people, the family and friends in my life.
Definitely. All right,
Kevin.
The bird.
I'm going to go with coffee.
Oh.
Coffee is essential. And then I'm going with music. Without it, I don't know. I would be a lost soul without music. I feel like it's grounded me, and I feel like it's opened me up. It's made me a more well-rounded individual. My wife says that if my music sucked, she never would have like gotten involved with me in the first place. So
you're like,
holy
shit.
Exactly. So, I guess music, I can thank music for my wife. And then, you know, it's unconditional love, you know, to give it and to receive it. But you can't receive it if you don't give it. And without expectation of receiving it, though, you know, you have to be able to give it without the expectation of receiving it. And, you know, I wouldn't have learned to be able to do that if it wasn't for a spiritual practice of, you know, meditation and, you know, sometimes sitting quiet with myself or you know, the first thing I learned to love was music. And then, you know, and then I started doing a spiritual practice of, you know, meditation and then I learned to love myself and then I was able to love other people and I was able to be able to give love unconditionally. Nice. And that, that I think is, I mean, it's kind of a lot encompassed into one of the three answers, but it's all relative. I mean, each one affects the other. So I wouldn't be able to do that if it wasn't for, if I didn't take it back to music in the first place. So coffee and music, unconditional love.
Both of y'all gave really good three. Love it. Did they change it all from last week? I don't think so. I feel like
I think slightly.
Z might have had coffee too.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I grouped. I had subcategories last week.
He's a cheater. He got 5 out of a 3 part question.
Yeah. I have my ass peeing.
All right, man. We're getting to the end here. We're gonna get each of us are gonna give a lifestyle tip. I kind of expanded on this here. Lifestyle tip, advice, shout out to anyone, a positive affirmation, challenge for the viewers, or anything. Gotta be positive though.
Who wants to go first?
I'll go.
All right.
Yeah, you expanded this one, you know, from what it was last week.
Really? I expanded it from like the past 30 whatever episodes from the beginning. Because I really just really said shout out, advice, or I haven't even said challenge, so.
I like where it's at today.
Yeah.
I like where the question's at today.
No.
One, I want to shout out, obviously my wife, Annie C. Wright. I want to shout out Anacron, for helping, you know, facilitate this whole thing. Without his vision, I don't think this would have happened. And I want to shout out all the collaborators on the album, you know, from Nathan Nice, Anna Anderson, Sassy Ann, my wife, Greta, Wisem. Did I say his name right?
Wisem.
Wisem.
Yeah.
Wisem and...
Your brother?
Yeah. Got yeah, he plays drums.
Oh, yeah. You know, and then if I could challenge anybody to do anything, it would be for 1 week to just take 5-10 minutes, close your eyes, and meditate. You know, whatever meditation looks like for you, whether it's guided, you know, something on YouTube or a calm app or just sitting in silence and focusing on your breathing. And see how that changes your day. your perspective, your outlook on a day. And if you could do that for 1 week and see if you want to keep doing it after that, that would be my challenge.
I'm going to take your challenge this week. I'm going to do it.
For sure. I'm gonna go Me too.
Definitely. I'm
gonna set reminders on my phone. You know, when it gets hectic,
there you go. I'll
try to keep up with it. I'll keep you updated. Yeah.
All right.
Don't. Z, you or me?
Okay, I'll go. You know, I'll start with, you know, while we're doing a lifestyle tip, I'll do a lifestyle tip. Alliance. I'll do the lifestyle tip aligns with Kevin's. You know, I was talking last time about, you know, the checklist, like living the to-do list life, you know. And I got on my notes, you know, in my phone in the notes section, I have a tab that's labeled things. That's it, things. And this is like it's the never ending checklist of things to do. And you know, it's like the whack-a-mole, and when I finish number four, you know, another number four pops up, and so on and so on, and it's evolving, because there are always things to do, especially as you get older and older and you have more and more responsibilities and you have kids and jobs and whatever stuff you have, there's always things to do. And I've fallen in the trap of going from one thing to the next without true presence and appreciation for those things, and with just a desire to finish them. And you know, that in and of itself, that desire to finish them and that finishing a task, there is a sense of relief. You know, I've learned there's a sense of relief that's yes, I finished that. Yeah. You know, and then like I go on to the next thing just so I can get that sense of relief to finish the next thing, and then that sense of relief. So it becomes a drug. The to-do list can be a drug.
It can. Don't get addicted.
Yeah, I'm taking hits of my to-do list. Shit. So yeah, like Kevin said, take a step back. Take a step back and take some time and not do. You know? Not do for a little bit. You know? It's not gonna be the end of the world. You know, the world doesn't need you 100% of the time, 24/7. You know,
as you can take, it may seem.
Yeah, for sure.
No,
that's what I
think we spoke about that a little bit last week too. Just you got to recharge your battery, whether that be with family, with, you know, with yourself, with sitting down and having a good meal, like whatever it is, whatever your therapy is. I feel like some people just, I don't know if it's the fact that, like, you've never known to sit with yourself, so you just don't. Some people are really just built with that type of personality where they just always have to be doing something to just feel. And sometimes therapy is doing shit, I mean, for some people. But at every point, you get too much of anything, and you know, the body or whatever, the mind is gonna shut down. So,
For sure. Yeah.
And when you keep doing things for the sake of doing things, even if you love them at first, it can end up feeling like a chore after a while.
Right.
Rather than doing it because you love doing it. So if you can take that step back, you know, it gives you some separation so you can get back to your to-do list or the things that you love doing, whether it's running errands or, you know, whatever. You know?
Yeah.
Because in reality, just like Kev had said, I think before Z popped on, you can't let anyone, you know, control your reactions, right? My whole thing is, like, there's that, and then there's the thing I love to say is, at the end of the day, you got to look at yourself in the mirror, and no one else is going to, you can't blame shit on anyone else. You put yourself in situations, you know, make decisions, you make choices throughout your day. Yeah, circumstance gets fucked up and gets real difficult, but I don't think anybody is handed anything they can't handle.
And it's about not letting people take up space in your head. I mean, you know, like I was saying prior to Zia jumping in, you know, yesterday I felt like I was having a day where people were trying me. And what I realized was that I was letting them affect me in a way that was unhealthy for me. I was letting people take up headspace. And it was stupid stuff. I mean, you know, I had a series of interactions in a car with people where, like, someone didn't know how to maneuver in a parking lot, and then someone did something else, and you know, if you let those things affect you on a day-to-day basis, or even in the course of a day, you're going to end up being very miserable throughout the day.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
And so what I realized was that, you know, those people, they had their difficulties, and I let their difficulties affect me. And at that point, that's when it stopped, is when I recognized what was going on, stopped blaming them for the way I was feeling. Then my day changed.
Right. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes sitting with yourself and really just assessing. For me, it's just because I was a hothead when I was growing up, and I've, you know, taken a lot of control of, you know, my emotions. And really the biggest thing for me is just, if I get ramped up and I feel away, sometimes that's not always what it is, right? I could be overreacting, or I could take it a certain way, or try to spin it a certain way in my head. But in all reality, it's like, no one is trying to, you know, go out and get me. That's not the thing, you know?
Right.
So it's really just evaluate the whole situation. Don't evaluate the person across from you or what they did, or evaluate the whole situation. Sit there and go, okay, he took the chips that I wanted. And then he said some foul shit. It's okay, though. It's a bag of chips at the end of the day. That's where this all started. So fuck it.
Yeah, but if you... If you take the one that's folded into two, and, you know, folded in half, that's a wrap. I'm like, that, those are my chips.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't have them.
You're fucking mine. Step off.
Step off. We're going to have words if you touch those chips.
Hell yeah. Damn, I still have to give my fucking tip, huh?
Yeah.
I feel like I like to give myself reminders that just pop up during the day on my phone. Here's a new one. Ignore all doubt. I think I said this a few episodes ago. If you have a thought or an idea or even a vision of you doing something, there's always going to be, you know, that dang, what is it called? Carnal mind? Is that right?
Something I think like so.
But, you know, that regular societal norms or whatever, you know, how you're supposed to feel, let's say. But if you think of it in your mind, if you have that idea in your mind and that vision, and you see it there, there's no reason to doubt anything that you see as an opportunity in your mind is, can be more than that. So That'd be my tip. No doubt. If you can see it in your mind, you can see it in reality.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Doubt can be corrosive.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And inevitably, when you start something new that you envision yourself doing, there will be doubt because you're not going to get it right the first time. You're not going to get it right the second time. It may take weeks, months for you to get it, and you got to like expel that doubt. That's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Yeah.
I didn't give a shout out.
Oh, yeah. Get it.
So I want to give a shout out to my partner, Greta Hernandez. She's her birthday's tomorrow.
And hey, she's happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
He contributed to the album on two of the songs, you know, and she's an amazing, selfless, single mom, you know, and, you know, I love her profusely. And also, my son, Zane, he built his own fort today.
There you go, Zane. Don't let Pops in. Ready. Don't let Pops in. He needs a whole
bunch of mittens. Yeah, he's a little mad at me, and he built the fort he's isolating himself from me.
He's like, you pay rent out there, but you don't pay rent in here.
Yeah, totally, totally. That's his going.
Yep.
Yeah.
But dope.
So that's it. Yeah. Those two people. For now.
Perfect. Perfect. Now, and I forgot again. We're going to do our mental state again for the past week, and then we'll do for the past 24. I actually am looking forward to seeing, you know, how your week went after we spoke last week on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. For me, my week, 1 out of 10, 10 being excellent. One being complete crap.
Yeah. That's the way to put it.
I would say my week, for the most part, you know, yesterday aside, probably a 7, 8.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty good. I mean, no, you know, some good things happened and not that good things need to dictate how, you know, my week went, but there were things that kind of took place that ended up being like, you know, a great breath of sigh of relief, you know, to be done with certain situations. This week was, I'm going to go 8, and then, this morning, I woke up, and I was not feeling like doing this podcast.
Do not feel bad.
I just wasn't in a headspace. My mind wasn't thinking about, like, an interview and conversation. It was thinking, I want to go back to bed, I need more coffee.
Say it again for the people in the back.
I don't want to do this interview. I want to drink more coffee and go back to bed. But again, after this interview, like last week, morning, you know, took a turn for the better, and I'd say back to an 8 or, you know, about an 8. Yeah, I feel good about, you know, having this conversation with you guys, and last week was fun. This week's been fun, and it's a little bit of energy, and it's like uplifting. So thanks for having us on.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you, Bryce. I think like the week before last was. I was like saying I was just super drained. and being pulled in a bunch of different directions. I had a similar week last week, but not as drained. You know, I try to actually have like set aside Wednesdays. You know, strategically, I made Wednesdays my self-care day, like midweek. My son gets picked up by his grandpa, his maternal grandfather, after school. And I take my surfboard to work, and I go straight to the beach after work. And, you know, just try to just chill and surf and connect with nature and not just kind of unplug. Also, just unplug, you know, minimal emails, minimal texting, all of that. And, that definitely recharges me. And then, the exercise, the physical exercise, my body needs, like, it feels good. And I get to recharge by doing that. It went better. So I would say last week was like a 7.5.
There you go.
And so, which is good. It's good for me. I think anything above a 5 is good.
Yeah, definitely. I feel the same way. I think my week, you know, it started off and was kind of rough and rocky. But more than anything, I think the theme for this week, we even named last episode, this was just peace. I think that was really what last week revolved around for me. Just kind of trying to give myself time to, you know, sit with everything going on and, you know, the passing of, you know, family member. But even like I told Kev before, it's like, for me, it's like she was suffering. So now she's not suffering anymore. She's in a better place. And I know that for a fact. So it's just peace, peace, peace. That's the word for the week. And not really just been I've been getting back into work and working a lot more this week, but you know, I love what I do. So it's just, I'm outside, I'm throwing a football, I'm, you know, doing a lot of, you know, cool things and, you know, being out and trying to get out of the house as much as possible. But I would say for the week, probably at 7. Solid 7.
Nice.
Solid 7.
Nice.
Oh, Z, for the day, for the past 24 hours.
The past 24? It's been like a 24, like I would say an 8. I would say an 8, maybe an 8.5.
Yeah.
You know, of course, yeah, this conversation, it's always good to have a conversation with you, Bryce and Kevin, for sure. You know, I love these topics. I can talk about music and spirituality, you know, forever.
Yeah. Real.
This is present, you know, for me. I enjoy it, and I do feel better. I wasn't dreading the podcast, but I was like, I was already, you know, I have to do something after this.
Yeah.
So I was already thinking about what I'm doing what I'm going to do after this. So when I, you know, that's the state of mind that I'm like, oh, I gotta like watch that. Like I haven't even done the podcast yet, but I'm thinking about,
right,
you know, what I'm doing after. So I'm like two or three steps ahead all the time. I gotta like reel it back in.
No, I feel you. I feel you. Yeah. For my past 24, shit, it was the opposite of Z. I had something to do before this, so I was working before this, training an athlete.
Then came home and was like, all right, shit. Get the mic, set up this, take a shower. Like, so, and then last night, I had two sessions. I trained two athletes yesterday.
The end of this recording was lost, I'm sorry. But I do want to just thank Ziad Fatah and KDT, the producer, Elephant Bird, just for being on the show and being good sports about, you know, last week and everything not going well. And, you know, finally got at least the full, you know, main conversation. So, thank y'all for listening. Go follow Ziad at More Open Music on Instagram and KDT at KDT _ produced _ it. Go check them out. And also Elephant Bird Music, I think, is the tag for Instagram. Go check that out. Thank you guys for listening. Appreciate y'all for tapping in. And have a beautiful day.